Well, get your cameras out, because you've got a photo op right in front of you. There would be those you could talk with that would say,
we'd never see Virgil among the clouds in heaven. So take this picture so that I may prove to some of those doubters that there might be a chance we make it. And then you come up afterwards and get a picture of yourself so you can do the same for your friends, okay? Isn't it lovely? We do anticipate in our 10 o'clock service our children's program and look forward to that. And if there's a Sunday to double dip, today is it. So please feel free afterwards to hang around for Sunday school. And then for the 10 o'clock service where our children are presenting their program, I know you'll be blessed by it as well. A couple of other things just to mention by way of announcement. Pictures for the directory. We've taken one round of pictures, but more families need to be taken. So Friday, December 18, and Saturday, December 19. That's this coming Friday and Saturday. If you want to schedule your family for a picture appointment, contact Benita. She'll be happy to work you into the schedule. If you're a nursery worker, Meg Mullins is hosting a luncheon next Sunday after the 10 o'clock service for all the nursery volunteers from this previous year. So we really appreciate your service, and this is one way it can be shown. A luncheon next Sunday, December 20th, following the morning service for all nursery workers. If you're in the mind for a good Christmas gift, Ogleville Christian Church cookbooks are available today. They'll be in the lobby. And they would make a great gift, and just to remember that, and you can take care of that in the foyer today. Don't forget, on December 24th, Christmas Eve, our Christmas Eve candlelight service at 7 o'clock. And for that program, the doors here will open at 6:30. And you're welcome to attend. You're welcome to bring your family and friends to join you for a wonderful night of worship on the Christmas Eve service, 7 p.m. here at Ogleville. The inspiration for today's Christmas message is a navy blue sweatshirt that Dory owns. On it is a beautiful scene with made out of gold foil and things that sets on that beautiful navy blue background. And it's framed by the words that declare this: wise men still seek him. Wise men still seek him. That's the theme of our message this morning. And I think it's worth pondering today. The idea that wise men still seek him. Now, who among us doesn't want to be wise? All of us do. I mean, we'd love to have wisdom. But the real question is not so much is it something we would want, but are we willing to do what it takes to be wise? Because those are two different things. It's one thing to want it. It's another one to be willing to do it. I want to be able to dunk a basketball. That's something I dream of. But I'm not willing to do what it takes to get there so that it could happen unless you lower the goal. Wanting it and getting it are two different things. But we're going to see from this story today in Matthew chapter 2 that wise men still seek him. Okay? Now, we want wisdom. You see, God, Solomon, when he was coming to the throne, was asked by God, what do you want? How can I help you with this role you've got? And Solomon, you remember, asked for wisdom. That was his request to God. God, grant me wisdom so that I may do this job and do it well. You remember Elisha, the prophet, who was going to replace Elijah, the prophet. And when asked when Elijah and he were conversing, Elijah asked him, what can I do for you? And Elisha said, give me a double portion of your spirit. The idea of wisdom is there as well. Of course, James tells us in the New Testament that if we lack wisdom, we should ask and God will give it. And the fact that wisdom comes from seeking is a well-known fact. We see it throughout history. We know explorers left their homelands and sought new lands and discovered new places and gave us even our own country. Scientists have sought cures and preventions for diseases and illnesses and have brought us a long way in that journey. Athletes have sought for trophies and awards and championships, and sometimes they achieve them and sometimes they don't. Men and women start the search at some point in their life for a partner, a spouse. And we begin to seek that out. And I'm thankful that many of us have found just wonderful, wonderful provisions from God there. Prospectors dig in mines, seeking that vein of gold or that vein of some precious mineral. News reporters go out and seek the story. And our TVs are full of those stories. Investors seek wealth and security, and they make their investments trying to get that. Wise men still seek Him. Now, the Bible has an interesting story for us about seeking. You can find it in Matthew 2 in your Bibles if you want to follow along or read the screen as well. Matthew chapter 2, you know these words. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." You'll drop down to verse 9. The story continues. When they'd heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed, full of joy. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Wise men still seek him. We see the wisdom of these travelers, these men from the east, looking for something in response to the star they saw. But before we talk about their story, let's think about these men for just a few minutes. You know, there's probably a lot more that we don't know about them than we do. Many people have speculated, much research has been done, but that's probably true. We know they were from the east somewhere, east of Israel, east of Palestine. Some people have suggested that it may be of an Indian nature. They may have been of that culture. Some have suggested other parts of Asia or the Orient. We just don't know for sure where they came from, but we know they were from the east. We don't know how far then they had to travel and how long that journey took them. We don't know when the journey began, other than it began when they saw the star, and certainly we don't know how long it took them to get there. We have no idea really how old the baby Jesus was when they arrived and finally saw him. There's a lot we don't know about these wise men, these magi. But there are some things we do know. And we do know that God chose them to receive a special blessing. And he set a sign in the sky, and that led them to seek Jesus. God gave them a sign to follow, and they did. And when they saw the Christ child, they worshiped and gave him gifts. The proper response to where they led. But why did God choose these men? Why were they the ones who were blessed with this opportunity to follow the star and find the baby Jesus? God chose them because of their character, I believe. We can see some qualities in them as we just look at what they did. These character qualities that they possessed. They were men, apparently, who possessed a great curiosity, a great interest that was piqued by this celestial sighting of a star like no other. Their interest was piqued. It intrigued them. They were men who then were willing to pay attention to the sign. You might even say these were men who were willing to follow directions. Ladies, does that bring any humor to you? A man who's willing to follow directions or even seek directions? They were open, these men were, apparently, to the longing. To the longing that is within each of us to seek the God who made us. They longed to find what he was showing them. To me, that kind of says they were teachable and moldable and shapeable. They were men of drive. They were men of initiative. They didn't just think about doing something. They didn't just talk about doing something. They took a journey. They acted with purpose and mission, followed the star to where it led them. They were diligent to their purpose and their calling. They completed their journey. They were men who were willing to express the emotion of great joy when they reached their goal. The scripture said there that when they got there and saw the baby, they were overjoyed, full of joy, just joy flowing all over and out of them. And of course, we know they were generous men, because when they saw the baby along with their worship, they gave him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, gifts that represented their respect, their worship, their praise, their awareness of this child being a very special child. Now, we call them often wise men, and they sought after Jesus. I believe they're men that we would do well to imitate. We would do well to look for wisdom and seek the Lord as they did. But I want you to understand something today. The thing that led them to this decision to seek the star, to follow the star and seek Jesus, had at least two different motives behind it. And I want to look at those two motives today and understand that this is what made these wise men wise, and in a similar fashion will make us wise today. The first motive I want to talk about is this one. The Magi from the east followed God's lead, and they sought Jesus because of what they could get. For us today, wise men still seek Him for what they can get. We still seek Him for what we can get. Now, please don't be turned off that this says wise men. I'm talking about every gender, talking about every age, every nation, every race. Everyone can be wise when they come to the Lord for what they can get from Him. Now, I don't believe this sounds very, well, I apologize. At first, when I thought about that point, I thought, well, that sounds kind of selfish or me-oriented. I seek Jesus for what He can do, what He can give me, what I can get from Him. But as I thought about it, I came to understand that's not a crass statement. It's not a statement of arrogance. It's not a statement of selfishness or childishness. You see, we look for Jesus because of what we can get from Him, because that's what He wants to do for us. We're just doing what is right and natural. We're doing what is good and proper. We're doing what we should when we seek Him. And understand then that there's much we can get from Him when we do. You see, that is why He came to this earth. He came to this earth to bring us blessings, spiritual, eternal, wonderful blessings. The incarnation of Christ, His coming to this earth and taking on flesh, it's just a deep, deep pool of wealth and a deep pool of blessing that is available to all, to every one of us who will seek Him as the wise men did and as we should today. He is the only worthwhile object of our search. The Bible tells us He can be found. So our search is not in vain. When I thought about seeking Jesus for what I can get, I thought immediately of Black Friday and Cyber Monday, and how people go crazy over those 2 days. They want to go somewhere so they can get what they've got to have, right? What we've got to have. Let me put myself in that mix as well. But I got to thinking, no, this is far better than any Black Friday sale or any Cyber Monday sale or any other thing that we could seek upon this earth. Seeking Jesus is the best we can do. We don't need to lose sleep. We don't need to fight the crowds. We don't need to put ourselves in personal danger on Black Friday to get the best deal going. Jesus is the best deal going, and we need to seek Him. But what is it that He can give us? Well, the Bible's full of things. Let's just highlight a few of those. When we seek Jesus, when we're wise and seek Him, here are some of the things we can get. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly," or to the full. We look for Him. We try to find Him because we know that when we do, we can have life. In John chapter 6, Jesus is teaching, and his teaching turns a bit hard and gets real serious, and he says, listen, if you want to be my disciple, you've got to follow me, you've got to take of me, you've got to eat my flesh, and just let me be the Lord of your life. And that caused many of the other followers to fade away. They didn't want that. They wanted the miracles. They wanted the special blessings. They wanted the help from Jesus, but they didn't want to give their full lives to him. And so they turned away. And Jesus asked his disciples, his special friends, are you going to go away as well? Are you going to leave with them? And what did they respond? To who else would we go? Only you have the words of life, Jesus. We seek him for what we can get. And one of the things we can get is life. Abundant life on this earth. And life eternal in heaven with him forever. Another thing we can get from him as we seek him is unparalleled peace. Jesus said, I'm going to give you a peace. And it's a peace that is like no other. It has no equal. It's a peace that the world won't understand. It may even pass your understanding, but trust me, it's available. You can have it when you seek me and find me. Ephesians 2:14 says that he himself is our peace. Jesus, when we seek him and find him, gives us himself, and he becomes our peace. He just doesn't give us peace. He himself is our peace. Paul says in Philippians 4:7 that this peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What a worthwhile, what a wonderful blessing from God that when we seek him and we find him, we can know peace. I don't know about you, but in this world today, my life, I believe your life, everyone's life needs more and more peace, which translates more and more Jesus. Wise men still seek him for what they can get. When we seek Jesus and find him, we get a good shepherd. John 10. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. My sheep know my voice. We get this one who is going to look out for us and care for us. And the shepherd illustration is just the perfect explanation of how that works. Shepherds care for their sheep. They defend their sheep. They risk their lives for their sheep. They do everything to make sure those sheep are well off. And that is the promise we have from our good shepherd, that he will come into our lives. We love that 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And when we seek him, that's one of the things he'll make available to us, that he will come to our side and be our good shepherd. And we can know we're safe, and we can know what we'll be provided for and taken care of. When he encountered the woman at the well, Jesus said, I want to give you something. I want to give you water. Water like no other. Water that when you drink it, you'll never thirst again. And when we seek Jesus and find him, we can have that satisfying water that fills our souls and blesses our lives. We can seek him and find him and get the purpose and direction our lives need. You know Jeremiah 29. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but plans to bless you and give you hope and a future. You see, when we find him, he gives us a reason to live and a direction to live in. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. Oh, when we find him, these are some of the things that he will put upon us and give us, and we can get from him. Like the wise men, we can find unspeakable, unshakable joy in Jesus. Like no other. Of course, we get the great blessings of things like salvation, forgiveness of sins, mercy, redemption, atonement, all these things that kind of fall under that umbrella of grace where he promises to take us out of the kingdom of darkness and put us into the marvelous kingdom of light, because that's where redemption is found. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. You see what we can get when we come to him? And of course, we can get love. love, perfect love, unconditional love, never-ending love. Love that's not based on how good I am, love that's not based on how good I do or how much I do or how much I give or how many times I come to church or any of those things. Love that's simply based on that is God's character, that is His nature, and that is the way He deals with us. And when we seek Him and find Him, love like no other is ours for the having. Well, again, we've just scratched the surface. There's so much more. But a great abundance of blessing is ours for the having when we wisely keep seeking the Lord. So wise men, if you and I want to be wise people, we still need to seek Him today for what we can get. And not feel bad about it, not feel like we're approaching Him as Santa Claus, but rather approaching Him as the God who wants to do all these things for us and sent that tiny baby to get the job done. That's the first motive, that we seek Him for what we can get. But we need to flip the coin and look at the other side, because there's balance to be found. Balance is an important consideration. We not only seek Jesus for what we can get, but the second motive comes down to this. The Magi followed God's lead and sought Jesus because of what they could give. And likewise, we today will be wise men, women, and children if we still seek Him for what we can give. You see, that's the balance. Take in all of God's goodness. Take in all of His blessings. Receive them with joy. But understand there's the other side. And that's the second motive. We seek Him because it presents us an opportunity to give. And this is what we should do. Our Lord is worthy. He is deserving of all we can give to Him and all we can do for Him. And the best way we do that is to do for others. That's the balance in this thing called the Christian life. Let God pour His blessings into you and then let them run right out of you to others. Now, what can we give the Lord? We can give Him our many resources that we have at our disposal. We have our monies, our finances. We have our talents, our abilities, our skills. We have our time. All these things are resources that God has blessed us to some extent with, and spiritual gifts and talents that can be used in His work. These are the things God has made available for us then, and we need to be willing to give them right back to Him and to others in the process of giving to Him. We can give Him our whole hearts, not just part, but all. Not just one day a week, but every day a week. We can give Him our entire life, every bit of us. Not just, Jesus, You can have 90% of me, but this 10% I'm keeping for myself. Jesus, I'll let You run most of my life, but don't interfere with this. Don't mess with this part. That's not the way it works. When we seek Him as a wise man or woman or child, we give Him our entire life. Every part of us, we let Him take over. We let Him control. And of course, we can give Him the gift of our praise and leading others in creation, in praise as well. There's much to get. There's also much to give. Psalm 34:10 says, "The lion may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." Maybe when you get home, write that on an index card and put it on your bathroom mirror somewhere, or somewhere where you'll run by it often. Isn't that great? Strong, big lions will grow weak and hungry, but if you seek the Lord, you'll lack no good thing. I love that promise. When we seek Him and give Him what He wants, God has great blessings coming our way. We turn to the prophet Isaiah, and we read in chapter 55 these familiar words. "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near." And this is how we do that. "Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and He will have mercy on them. And let them turn to our God, for He will freely pardon. When we give ourselves to the Lord and seek Him with our whole hearts, these are the things that happen. These are the wonderful blessings that come our way. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. You see, we have things to give to God. We give Him our faith, our trust, our allegiance, our loyalty. We come to Him believing that He exists, and then He promises then that we can please Him and that we can enjoy a reward, a great reward. A great reward when we seek Him. And He can be found. Seeking God, seeking the Lord, seeking Jesus is always the wise thing to do. And so we seek Him for what we can get, and we're wise. We seek Him for what we can give, and we are likewise wise. I've spent time in my life searching for things, looking for something, knowing that I saw it there or somewhere, and have spent many minutes, many hours. You've probably done the same. You just can't find it. You don't know where it is. But you keep seeking because you know it's something you want or you need or you think you got to have. Maybe you seek the great recipe to make that terrific dish that your grandma made. Maybe you're looking for the solution to a problem. Maybe you're even thinking, there's a Bible verse I know or I'm sure it's in there that I need to read. When we seek, we can find. Today, the invitation from the Christmas story is this. Be like the wise men. Seek Him. Find Him. And enjoy what He has to offer you. What does it mean to seek Jesus? What do we need to do? How do we need to approach this? Seeking Jesus. It's a wise thing to do, but how do we do it? Well, seeking Jesus is not just wanting more information about Him. It's not wanting to know about Him. It's wanting to and doing everything you can to know Him. And I hope you can appreciate the difference between those two ideas. It's one thing to know about somebody. It's another thing to know them. And so it is with our Savior Jesus. It's one thing to know about Him, and it's good to know about Him. But what He really wants is for us to look for Him and find Him and know Him and walk with Him. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you." This morning, it's time to think about a decision for Jesus. To make that decision that you are going to join the wise men in taking that journey of looking for the promised one. The one whom God sent to this earth as a baby. The one whom God saw grow up to become a man and teach us and love us and guide us. The one that was put upon a cross and buried in a tomb but rose away from that tomb. It's just time we make the decision to be wise people and seek Jesus and enjoy what He gives and give Him what He wants. We're going to stand and